Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Jason McKee, live from Palace. J-Mac, shirts and shorts, but a little bit of an impressive day from you. You like what you see today?
Yeah, OTA is always going to be helmets, shirts, jerseys.
Yeah, a little jersey.
But I was excited to actually get out there and see Ben Johnson and that coaching staff lead a practice. I know they've been in OTA since last week.
Yeah.
My first day actually being able to get up here and make an appearance and watch OTAs. But I was impressed with the overall tempo of the practice. I was excited to see, you know, some of the position coaches really dive into the details and nuances geared toward their position.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that we've heard, you know, every guy that's come out in the press conference and when they ask about Ben Johnson and his coaching staff, what do they all talk about? They talk about the details. They talk about the clear and concise communication in terms of what Ben Johnson wants from each particular position group and player.
Yes.
And you saw that today. You know, we saw Ben Johnson have to reset the offensive huddle a few times because the process wasn't there in terms of how fast he wanted guys in and out of the huddle. And, you know, you saw Eric Bieniemy obviously coaching his backs and stuff like that, and various other position coaches coaching their groups up. So, you know, I love the fact that we're seeing things being really, you know, coached in extreme detail. And let's hope we can continue seeing that through our training camp, because we saw that last year. We saw at the start, everything was detail oriented. They were coaching guys hard, and then it kind of tailed off in training camp. But I don't expect that with this coaching staff.
No, I think there's a lot to get into here, and there's a lot of excitement. I think Eric Bieniemy has the line of the day, which we'll bring to y'all. He'd be us cracking up on the sidelines. Whenever you an earshot of Eric Bieniemy, just shut up and listen, because he's going to give you something good. We do want to let you guys know today's episode is of the Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura drive-off in under 60 minutes, and they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off of I-80-94. Let's start off with the big news, J-Mac, and then, of course, we're going to get into OTAs and how everything broke down, and we're going to give you an in-depth breakdown of who won the day. We're not. A lot of winners of the day. You know what I mean? I love that.
The Bears won the day.
Yeah. But the big news, I think, that led the press conference, and Caleb Williams led the press conference with his commentary on, you know, the whole book situation. Yeah. And, J-Mac, I don't know where you've stood on this, but I think we heard exactly what we thought we were going to hear based on what was said in the article. There was all this stuff of, I didn't know, this isn't here, I have this question, Kevin O'Connell, yada, da, 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 I want to be a Bear.
Yeah.
That's how the article ends. Yeah. And yet so many questions came from that. I thought it was very good of Caleb to go out there and lead in that way, knowing he was going to get the questions anyway. I thought that it was good of Caleb to take the questions and not just go, look, I already addressed all of this. Like, yeah, let's put this behind us. Let's start here, because I don't even know if me and you have talked about this. When you saw the article come out, was there any like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy didn't want to be a Bear. Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's as hard as it is to say. It's when you look at the overall
premise.
Quarterback position here in Chicago, and I play with a ton of them here. A lot of really good guys.
Teammate coined the line. Moose made the line.
He did it with receivers. Chicago. But at the same time, you know, it's a place where quarterbacks have not thrived. You know, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer. He also addressed that in the press conference. Yep. And it just hasn't been a place where quarterbacks have been able to be developed and be able to be consistent in terms of quarterback play within this organization. It's no secret. It's out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, from when you look at some of the things that he was saying, his dad saying that he didn't want him here, as a parent, you're going to understand why, because the success hasn't been there. But I think it was awesome that Caleb came out and led this press conference and really addressed all the nuances of that book. So nothing was really taken out of context. We got to hear it from Caleb's side, and he addressed each and everything that was, you know, that's been put out there. So at the end of the day, he's a Bear. So when I looked at that article, I said, you know what, he's here now. And, you know, under a new regime, Ben Johnson, I think we're going to see, you know, some of the best of Caleb Williams for years to come, as long as Ben's here.
And I think I love having you on the day that he did address this, because in a sense, you did get to just do this with your son going off to college now, right? You wouldn't have sent your son to a spot where, you know, son, they don't develop your position well. Exactly. They're not good at building your position, and you have that option. Now, Caleb didn't have the option, but I think as a parent, it's very understandable to go, they don't do this very well there. Right. I want you to have a long NFL career. Even on a college standpoint, like if you probably steered him away from some situations where it was like, son, listen, this is how we've seen this going to pass.
Yeah. And he talked about it. He's like, you know, he came out. He said, I just came off the visit with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I had a really good visit with the head coach,
Kevin O'Connell, coach of the year. I forgot he won coach of the year.
Just came off of being coach of the year. So as a highly touted quarterback, as the heir apparent number one pick, why wouldn't I want to go to a place that had a coach that's already had a great year, that had a great system, that's shown he knows how to develop quarterbacks. We saw what he did last year with Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? It's obvious. So, you know, I think it was great that he got to actually come out here and clear the air.
Yeah.
Really, you know, even talk about film. Like he said, I didn't.
J-Mac, he does know how to watch tape.
Like, and when that came out, like we didn't, you know, I didn't, you know, jump to conclusions and say he doesn't know how to watch film. I mean, he's been in the collegiate game. He's been at two great programs, Oklahoma. He's been in USC. He's had great coordinators. He's had great position coaches. He just was saying that he, you know, some of the things in terms of watching the film in detail, not learning shortcuts in terms of how to watch film, but really understanding different ways to watch film so that way he can be more efficient, maximizing his time and watching more film. So that's what he was talking about when, you know, learning different ways and nuances to watch film.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I mean, listen, again, you went through this going from college to the pros. Is there a different step? Is there a different level? Is there a different eye that you have from the college game to the pro game just as a fullback in this league, let alone a quarterback?
Yeah, in the NFL, I mean, it's the game, the defense changes, right, dramatically, or it can change dramatically post-snap. You know, you get one picture pre-snap, and then on a snap of the ball, that picture changes because guys are so athletic. Guys can hold and disguise things. Defensive coordinators are so complex. And, you know, it's tough. I can imagine what it's like for a quarterback, you know, having to really now there's so many things that goes into it. Now I'm under center, right? Now I got to give a pre-snap diagnosis of who the mic point is. Now I got to possibly change the protection. Now I got to possibly change the play. Now I get a pre-snap picture of what the coverage looks like pre-snap. Now post snap, it's a different coverage. Now my read progression changes dramatically based upon the coverage that I'm seeing post snap. So it's a lot that goes into each and every play. And on top of that, he talked about it today, right? The verbiage and the terminology, right? Now, Coach Waldron was here last year, right? So it may be the same route concept, but it may be the terminology or the verbiage is going to be different because Ben Johnson calls it something different. And that's what, you know, we saw Coach Case Keenum at the podium today as well. He said those are some of the things that...
Like I said, Coach Case Keenum, essentially.
Coach Case Keenum, right. We saw... he looked like a coach, too. Hey, bro, that's why I called him Coach.
Bro, I'm not going to lie.
Future coach.
I ain't seen Case without a helmet on in a long time, bro. I was like, Case is eight. It's been a while. He's been in the league for a minute. Right.
But we saw Case Keenum come up there and talk about, you know, rookies, they know what they don't know. And that's very true.
Yeah.
So it's good. I think having a guy like Case in that meeting room, along with, you know, some of the other guys, JT Barrett, who's been around the game, who's coached in the league for a while now, you know, having a lot of those guys, those good football minds to help mentor and help Caleb, you know, develop as a quarterback is very important.
Yeah. And I think I love the dynamic. It almost seems like last season they tried to shield Caleb from a lot of voices, right? There was a lot of people in the building that didn't get to talk to him. It was really just, you're talking with Waldron. Waldron's the one that's going to develop you. Yeah. Here, I think Ben has said it a million times. When he's talking with Declan, when he's talking with JT, when he's talking with, like, it's, we brought these voices in here to help you. Yep. We brought these voices in here to build you up, to make you the player that we hope that you're going to be able to become. We don't want them not around you. We want them with you. We want them working with you. And you can see that dynamic when they get out at practice. I'll tell you the one thing, just from being up here and being inside the building, the one thing you feel, even when Caleb is working out there, it doesn't feel like he don't want to be here. I'm sorry. Like, there's a feeling of this is it in the building that I think maybe comes every season when you play in the NFL. Like, we're going to get this right. We're going to figure it out. It's before the season. But people that have been here are feeling like this might be it. Like, this might be the combination we've needed. And I think that Caleb is doing a big part in making that feeling be apparent in the building. And so I'm excited by that. We did, outside of all of the book stuff and all of that, we did get to talk to him about a little bit of football at the end there.
Yeah.
He's dealing with a change of foot positioning. He's dealing with being under center a lot more than he's been in his entire career. How'd you feel like Caleb adapted to some of those things today in practice? And how'd you feel like the tempo of practice was overall?
Yeah, I like the tempo, right? The pace of practice. There's no wasted time. Not a lot of guys standing around. Now, I know it's only OTA, so it's a shortened version of what we'll see in training camp. But there's guys moving and there's guys being coached.
Shortened is crazy. We were out there for a while.
Yeah, we were out there for almost 2 hours in OTA type practice,
yeah,
which is awesome because there's a lot of things going on right now. And we've heard it from each and every guy that stepped up to that podium talking about learning, right? Everybody's learning, right? Guys are learning a new defense. Guys are learning a new offense. Guys are learning new ways to do things in terms of their fundamentals and their techniques. And Caleb's learning just like these guys. So, you know, I thought the pace of practice was awesome. You know, we saw Caleb in a 7-on-7 period.
Yeah.
Threw an interception to Tremaine Edmonds. Also, yeah. One that was tipped by Tremaine Edmonds and intercepted
Tremaine
by
Jaquan Brisker. Tremaine was balling today, yeah.
Good to see Brisk
back out there on the field.
You know, it's good to see him back out there. But overall, I think, you know, you see guys flying around. You see guys making plays. And Coach Johnson talked about it when he took the podium is they're focusing on the details, right? All 11 guys on defense running to the ball. All 11 guys on defense, when that running back's running the ball, even though they're not in pads, stopping the ball carry.
Yeah.
All of those details. He talked about, you know, offensively, they're installing a lot because they want to challenge their guys and see how much information they can retain on a practice basis. So I think it's awesome. You know, this is what this time is about. You know, guys continue to learn. Guys are really – they're still learning their coaches and what their coaches yeah. expect. But the main thing that we've heard, right, from each and every guy on that podium is – like I said before when we started this podcast, is there is clear and concise communication in terms of what's expected, right? The details are not overlooked, yeah. even the littlest details not overlooked. And for the most part, every man, based upon their position group and their position, understands what their particular coach is looking for. And that's awesome. You know, I think that's huge.
I thought it was big hearing from Ben today when he said, you know, why did he send them back to the huddle? It wasn't because Caleb Williams was calling the play wrong. It wasn't because Caleb had guys out of position. It was because you weren't speaking with the intensity of a play that you should be speaking with. And he right. said, as the season goes on, as time goes on, you're going to deal with fatigue. You're going to battle some mental exhaustion. And you need to call this play yeah. like you intend to go out there and score a touchdown on this play. I thought that just that mindset of the teaching part is here. We know you know the play. You have to call the play the right way, though, so that we all know that we're locked in this moment. I thought that was such a different mindset versus, and again, right, 1 year in Caleb versus rookie year Caleb. Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot more teaching going on, or there should have been a lot more teaching going on last season than there is right now. But I think that just hearing that, like, no, he knew the play is fine. You got to call it this way, though, yeah. or you're not prepared to go out there and run the play. I thought that was such a change in mindset and something different that we've seen out here.
Yeah, and also it's the tempo in which you're getting in and out of the huddle.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about the tempo in terms of their process of getting in and out of the huddle was slow as well. And, you know, those are the details you talk about. So he got mad and he made him reset it, recall the play, huddle back up, and let's break and let's do it the right way.
Yeah. It was a little easier to find Ben today, but it was real easy to find him when he threw out a F this.
Yeah.
It was like, wait a minute. What?
Funny thing, man,
what's like, going on?
If you didn't know, you would think he was like one of the ball boys. Like, bro, you know what I mean? Like he's
you get to see it now.
Yeah, I'm
you
looking like, looking man, like, wait a minute. I had to, when I first came out and, you know, you obviously see him on, you know, TV and the press conference yeah. and stuff like that. And I came out here and I was looking for Ben and had my glasses on too. It took me a while to find him with my glasses on. I had to look for him. Like, man, like if I didn't know, I think he was, you know, one of the ball boys. Like,
hey, you find him real quick when he goes, F this, run
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, run
wait
it
a
again.
Minute. Oh, what's going on?
Run it again.
I thought that, again, another good day of OTAs. And I think good day on both sides. You know what I mean? The it's one thing to say, you know, the Caleb Williams maybe struggled a little bit today at times. The couple of interceptions you bring up that he threw.
Yeah.
I looked at that, and maybe I'm looking at this different. Maybe I'm looking at this too optimistically. He threw the first interception to Tremaine. Looked like he was trying to challenge to get the ball over. I didn't think the route was there, and it was ever going to develop. Mm-hmm. Looked like the second pass was like, let me test this again.
Yeah.
Let me. No, I need to be able to make this pass. I'm trying to get this ball into this spot. Let me test this again. Ball almost gets there, but Tremaine Edmonds is ridiculously talented and ridiculously long on the field. Tips the ball right into the hands of Jaquan Brisker. But I think what was funny was last season, we didn't see Caleb Williams take a lot of challenges. Yeah. There was a lot of times where if an interception came from a play, I don't that throw to Cole Kmet in the Texas game, we didn't see that throw again until Thomas Brown took over.
Yeah, and I think with OTAs, right, obviously he's not trying to go out there and throw interceptions,
yeah.
right? He's still learning concepts. He's still learning how things fit. He's still learning. He's still going through his route progressions. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that he has to understand and a lot of things he's trying to learn so that way he's detail-oriented so that when he goes out there, you know, that first game, he has sometimes it takes quarterbacks a while, even going into the season, have a real firm grasp of this offense, but he'll be as close to of having an understanding in its entirety of what this offense should look like. So everybody's learning. Guys are there to make mistakes. You know, you hear Coach Johnson talk about it. They expect guys to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times coaches early on, right, in this process, you want guys to make mistakes because it gives you an opportunity to coach them up on it.
Yeah, and I think Caleb's coming into a completely different situation this season as well. We heard Ben Johnson also talk at the podium about, you know, how all these positions are fluid, but we feel really good about Darnell on the right side. Yeah. And we'll see what's going on this left side.
Gotta be fluid.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Line, it's gotta be fluid. Look,
it's all fluid.
Right.
But we feel really good about Darnell on this right side. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's one of them where it's like, yeah, the quarterback situation fluid. But Caleb out there with the first team. But to say all that, we saw Ozzie Trapillo get those first snaps with the first team today in that first team offense. Last week, that was Karan Amagaji out there who got those first reps. I think there is going to be a lot of fluidity when it comes to the left tackle spot, especially when Braxton Jones finally comes back. But your first chance to put eyes on the rookie, what'd you think of him over on the left side?
Yeah, I thought it's in shorts.
No pads, no shorts.
He's a guy. Huge human being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a big guy. It looks like he has some athleticism in terms of his footwork. Like I said, they're in shorts and helmets, as we know. So you can't really get a firm grasp of what he could do in a run game because they're not really blocking like that because of the fact that they're in shorts. But, you know, interesting prospect is going to be I'm excited to see how that whole battle transpires with Karan and Ozzie, obviously Ozzie, and then Braxton coming back off the injury. I think he's a young, talented player. Obviously, that's why they took him in the second round. But it's good to add a young guy like that with potential to that offensive line room.
Yeah, I think you saw. To me, it's always interesting because you can't evaluate anything. But on one side, I see Darnell getting cooked by Dominique, and I'm like, I don't like that.
Shorts.
And on the other, in shorts, right? Shorts. And then on the other side, I see Ozzie dominating on the left side. Shorts.
Yeah,
it's one of those where it's both situations are true. But I thought it was. It was good to see him get an opportunity. And to me, I thought he took advantage of that opportunity versus what we saw from Karan last week. I thought Karan kind of didn't look prepared for the left tackle, or maybe it's not the position for him. And it felt different in that way. Again, it's OTA number two. They've been out here 6 days, I think, in total.
Yeah.
You can't take anything massive away from
it. Yeah, I think early on, too, with rookies, especially in OTAs, I mean, the whole new environment for them, whole new team, new teammates, new locker room, new people, new coaches. Everything is new, right?
Yeah.
Main thing that's new is the scheme, is the playbook.
Yeah. Right?
So you talk about, let's see from a coaching staff, how much information can he retain? But not only retain it from a meeting, can it translate to going out there and being able to execute that information that we've installed in that meeting? Can he take that to the field and go out there and execute that what we've installed? So yeah, pass protection, right? We may have put one in the morning, go out there. Yeah, he may have got beat, but did he step the right way? Did he understand who he had? Yes, he lost his matchup, but we know he understands who he has. That's very important because the other thing is they're going to coach up, right? He's going to get more comfortable with the more reps that he gets, and the coaches are going to continue to develop fundamentals so that way he can execute his responsibility and his assignment on each and any play that he had that's called.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what that. I think it feels completely different, J-Mac. When was the last time we came in with four known offensive linemen? Right. Like where we're going, for the most part, man, nobody's taking Drew Dolman's spot. Nobody's taking Jonah Jackson's spot. Yeah. Nobody's taking Darnell Wright's spot. Nobody's taking Joe Tooney's spot. Like, it feels different from the aspect of, I ain't even got to watch y'all four. What you doing over there on the left side? And I think that is... Even for Caleb, I would say it probably feels a little bit different out there just knowing that because of all the turmoil and the change that we saw with Mr. Day-to-Day, who was here last year, who will not be named.
Day to day got paid. Oh man, unbelievable.
J-Mac, you could have done it, bro. You could have made a move on that.
Oh man, but no, like you said though, here's the thing. Another takeaway that I'll comment on is not necessarily what happened today, but a couple of days ago when Joe Tooney got his contract extension, he was up at the podium, right? Yeah. And he's talking about it feels good. He knew he wanted to be here, not because of the money. That helped a little bit.
Helped a lot.
But at the
nobody's
same time,
doing it for the money, Jay.
Right. It helped a lot. But at the same time, he's here because he said it seems like everybody's, you know, heading in the same direction. Everybody, you know, he talked about Ben Johnson. He said they're doing things the right way, and it's what I'm used to, right? Yeah. So look at the two organizations that Joe Tooney's been a part of, the New England Patriots, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, organizations that have had sustained success, right? And he said it's what I'm used to. So that was very encouraging when I heard that. So he's seeing things done around the building on a daily basis, right, that match what he's used to during his time in Kansas City, during his time in New England. So that's huge.
This coaching staff seems like I'll say this, right? We want to talk about and praise the players for hitting the ground running. I feel like this coaching staff has hit the ground running. Yeah. I think what we're seeing out there, and it feels different because J-Mac, you were here last year. How many times did we come up here and just go, well, a day happened. Things did, in fact, happen today. Where it feels different to me is it feels like this coaching staff is not letting the small things slide. They are trying to develop good habits. They are trying to develop. Of course, you're trying to teach these guys. And I'll say this. If you want to talk about from the teaching aspect, I'm hearing Jaquan Brisker call out play changes that need to happen on the defensive side, which tells you how important he was. He, of course, ends up getting the interception today. But Caleb checks a play at the line, and Jaquan Brisker's going, boss, I said boss. And all of a sudden, people start moving. Yeah, he's yelling out zebra out there. Like, there's all these things where it's like you're seeing that they know, okay, this is what this just happened. This is how this changed. We need to change with this. They know some of the audibles already and know the bases they're supposed to be in.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you see Dennis Allen out there, a coach with a lot of energy, a coach who's got skins on the wall, a coach who's done this at an elite level for a long time. Getting on the rookie. So I'm getting on
Ruben Hippolyte.
Ruben Hippolyte, right? Ruben wasn't running to the, you know, Caleb scrambles. Ruben's out there on the edge. He's like, hey man, you see the quarterback scramble, you run through him. You know, you got to get there. Yeah. So it's awesome to have, you know, to see that early on. And like I said, early on is one thing. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And let's see. Hope we continue to see, you know, these things, you know, on a daily basis, and obviously out there in training camp and throughout the season.
I'll say this, J-Mac, when you left, it was kind of just wasn't a smile, but it was just like a, all right, okay, that's a little something there. Did it feel familiar to you at all? Did it feel like how you guys went about your OTA practices when y'all were in the building? Because that's really what I left the first OTA going. I was like, oh, that's different. Hold on, I ain't seen that.
It was awesome, man. You know, I obviously spent a lot of time watching Eric Bieniemy during individual drills with the running back, and it kind of brought back some nostalgia with our running back coach here, Tim Spencer, who was a guy who had a lot of energy, a guy who would crack jokes and stuff like that to get you motivated. But it's also, you see that the guys are comfortable with Coach Bieniemy, and he's comfortable with the guys to be able to crack jokes. You know, one player, he said, hey, man, look like you're, what did he say? Look, oh, like old man going through the bag.
You're going through this drill like a young old man.
Yeah, like a young old man, you know, like, which means pick it up.
That was the line of the day. Right.
Like, pick it up. Pick up the speed. Pick up the intensity. So I think it's, you know, it's awesome. It's a great start. We already know he's put together a really good coaching staff, and let's see what they can do.
Do you think Tremaine Edmonds could have a bounce back season? I feel like he's flying around out there, and maybe he's just in a defense that fits what he wants to do a little bit more. But again, I know it's early, but it just felt like Tremaine is moving a lot better than we've seen him move.
Guys, you know, they're hungry too. And, you know, you look at the season that Tremaine had last year, I'm pretty sure he wasn't happy with it.
Yeah.
We saw Montez Sweat at the podium talking about he's here now because of the way he felt after the season last year, not hitting some of his personal goals in terms of his sack numbers, but also team goals, finishing the way that this team did last year. A lot of guys are in this building. They're hungry. They got a fresh start, and they know they don't want to put on tape what we saw last year.
Yeah. some of the absences we did see. Still no Luther Burden out there.
TJ was
dealing with some soft tissue injury. TJ dealing with a soft tissue injury. Kyler also dealing with a soft tissue injury. So the soft tissue stuff showing up. But again, I'll go back and take you on a blast from the past. I remember you telling us, I think it was 2 weeks ago on the podcast, that there was a lot of people that were dealing with hamstrings and soft tissue stuff when that change came from Jerron to Lovie Smith.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. You know, it's part of the game. You know, it's not about, you know, if I'm injured, it's when you're going to get injured. You're going to get banged up in football. You're going to have some injuries. It's about, you know, making sure that your body's in the best, you know, best shape that you can get it in. Make sure you're in tip-top shape. Make sure you're doing all things that you're supposed to do off the field. So that way, your availability on the field, which is the most important thing, that you're out there and you're with your guys out there. So that's the main thing.
It also sounds like they're being a little bit cautionary here because it's not mandatory.
Right.
When Ben Johnson was asked about, I think Pat Finley asked him, you know, do you expect to have these guys not there? Or who don't you expect to have at minicamp? He said, nobody.
Yeah.
I'm expecting everybody to be there. So I think that's going to be something where because it's voluntary, maybe you're a little bit more cautionary in this moment. And I thought that was, listen, the Bears to me have made all of these changes, and it actually feels like we're 2 weeks in, and you know how we are. We're a little jaded, J-Mac. So maybe you're a little bit more to me. We're a little bit jaded. So we're seeing these things happen, and we're all going, no, not yet. I'm not feeling it yet. I don't know if I buy into it yet. But it feels to me, when we left this field today, it looked like you were like, oh, I remember those days.
Look here. I'm a coach. I'm always excited as it gets closer and closer to football season. You know, high school will be starting our summer practices, actually our summer camp practices. You know, here in the summer. So as it gets closer.
Don't let IHSA see that.
No, they know it's summer camp. As it gets closer, you know, to football season kicking off, everybody gets excited. You know, I'm definitely excited every time it's a new season for the Bears. I'm excited to see, you know, what can transpire. And yes, we are excited, but at the same time, I'm trying to remain even keeled as possible to not, you know, get too overly emotional or excited right now. Just evaluating, looking at things, see how things are moving, see how the practices ran, seeing how players are responding to the coaches and stuff like that. And today was the first day I had an opportunity to do it, to see it in person.
Yeah.
So it was a good, I like what I saw today. Obviously, like I always say, it's still a jaded sample size because there aren't helmets, jerseys, and shorts.
Yeah. But underwear Olympics still.
Yeah, but as we know, you've done some things in the offseason that can make us overly optimistic right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be the one thing that we do know, this is going to be a fun process. I think that as they go through this practice, just watching Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy is going to be entertaining for a lot of people out there. Eric Bieniemy just continues to bring the energy. I think the fun part about it, though, is it's something that Kay said. It was like, we think the same way. And then when Ben was talking about Dennis Allen, he said, we look at football the same way.
Yeah.
Feels like you have a lot of people who are on the same track, who are all on the same train, if you will, going the same direction, versus having somebody who's like, yeah, I like what you're doing there, but maybe we could change this a little bit because that's not the move. And it felt like that was happening at every turn last season.
Yeah. And I think another thing that Ben said, you have a lot of former players on this staff, right? And just because you're a former player doesn't mean you're a great coach, but it also helps. And he said a lot of what they say carry a lot of weight because they played the game, they've done it at a high level, and he said the guys respond to that. So, you know, I can't wait to see a heated training camp practice where, you know, Antoine Randle L and Al Harris are jawing back and forth at each other. And then them guys go out there and put on cleats after practice and run some one-on-ones and stuff like that. Like, you know, you got those type of coaches in the building. So it's going to be exciting. I think that the fact that you have guys who have played this game at an elite level. You know, I think Antoine Randle L is going to really improve that receiver room in terms of everything, in terms of the details and the nuances of how you should run each route based upon each coverage, based upon what you're seeing out there. I think Al Harris brings a tremendous value to this defensive back room, as well as the defensive, you know, the coverage and stuff like that the Bears are going to implement. When you're doing a lot of man coverage, something that Al did a lot his entire career, I think you have a guy that can give you some nuances and some tricks of the trade that just, hey, the normal coach can't really give you because he hasn't been there. He hasn't done that in person. So I think the guys are going to value more of what's coming from Al Harris because he's a guy who's played a lot of man-to-man in his career, and with you making a change to running a lot more, you know, a lot of man-to-man and not just more zone coverages, like, you really got to take that, what he's saying, into consideration and really try to apply that to your game.
And I think, too, right, listen, there's all different levels of success in the NFL, if you will, especially as a player. You got a couple of players on here that have not been just good guys during the regular season, have been that guy in the playoffs, have been that guy in big moments, in the biggest moments of certain games, right? Like, I think even you coaching your kids, like, if some kid want to mouth off at the running back position, they'd be like, that don't make no sense. He'd be like, sir, I went to a Super Bowl. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is how you get there. You want to get to where I got? Like, there's a cachet that comes with that. And when you're talking about Eric Bieniemy, when you talk about Al Harris, when you talk about Antoine Randle, you're not talking about dudes that were nobodies around the league or that were just, you know, he was on the practice squad for a little while and he got in a couple of games. You're talking about dudes that were impact players around the league.
Yeah, and you even talking about, like, even the guys who, like I said, the guys who may not, who didn't play in the league. You talk about, you know, an offensive coordinator, Declan Boyle. You talk about a guy who's been around Sean Payton, a guy who's been around Drew Brees, right? He's seen what success from that quarterback position looks like, but he's also been around a head coach and a coordinator in Sean Payton that's had a lot of success leading offenses that have been, you know, consistently successful each and every year in and year out. So he's had an opportunity to learn from some of the best in this game. And, you know, Case Keenan mentioned him, like, despite, you know, Case being 10 years older than his offensive coordinator, he said, this is a guy that, you know, a lot of guys, they go to Coach Boyle to fact check things in this offense because he's so intelligent and he has such a firm grasp and understanding of this offense.
You played long enough in the league. Did you ever have a coach that was that far behind you where you were like,
you know what?
Hey, man, what the
funny thing now is, like, just looking at, like, Coach Johnson, you know, and some of these guys, like, man, I'm like, man, I'm older than the head coach. Like, I'm older than head coach. Like, man, like, you know what I'm saying?
That was a different league when you played, though.
Yeah, like, it's weird, like, man. It is weird. I mean,
was a young
head? I still look like I'm about 25.
No, you look great. You know? You're doing phenomenal.
Some of these rookies here look older than me.
You're doing phenomenal. Take the head off. No, I'm just playing.
That looks good. You don't need hair to look good.
You know. I'm not gonna lie. That's always the part that throws me off whenever one of your old player pictures pop up, or it's you doing the idea. Because the lining was right here. Like, the lining was
waves, 360, Dex sporting waves, all the sporting waves, do rags, all that stuff.
It's great. But I mean, listen, at the end of the day, like you say, it's another OTA practice. Yeah. I think that, you know, the one part that surprised me maybe today is we got to see on display how fast Ruben Hippolyte actually is. There was a play in the flat. I think they were trying to get it to Swift in the flat and Hippolyte broke down on it. I was like, oh, he got down there quickly.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, shout out to my guy Daniel Hardy, got a linebacker. So, you hear the possibility of him actually playing some linebacker and making that transition. So I got to see him, you know, line up at linebacker, move around in coverage a little bit, a guy who I know put in a lot of work this offseason, a guy I talked to a lot. So, you know, I'm excited about him too, man. I think him making that move, I think it's a position change. I think he could actually, you know, really have some success at you know, really doing because of his work ethic and his ability, his athleticism, his physicality. I think it's a good switch for him.
What's the hardest part about going from one position to one that you just haven't been a part of as much? Yeah, you've been in every room, but.
Yeah, it's probably tough. I mean, I never, you know, I haven't played DN and obviously made a switch to linebacker, but it's totally different, you know, from just a movement standpoint in terms of, like, the coverages, the way he's got to understand coverages now. He's standing up. I mean, he's not just, you know, coming off the edge and rushing a passer. And, you know, he's not just lined up in a nine technique outside shade at a tight end or a six head up, you know what I mean? Or a seven inside shade at a tight end. Now I'm actually in space and I actually have to understand defensive coverages now because I have to understand what my role is in each and every coverage that we may run. So it's totally different.
I hope that he finds a way, because the one thing I want to see for Daniel Hardy, especially this upcoming season, the impact, he's going to be on the team. That's a given, right? Yeah. He's a special teamer.
Yeah.
He's a dominant special teamer. I think he's one of the better ones in the NFL right now. I want him to find his way on the field because with the speed that he has, it does seem like it's also an underutilization of his talent for him to not be out there in some capacity. Very, very similar to what we saw with Ruben Hippolyte with just the speed to get to a running back. Like, I feel that same way about Daniel Hardy, and he's been in this building. He's been a part of this team. I would love to see him earn that opportunity.
Yeah, and it shows you that this coaching staff obviously, you know, likes the talent, the skill set, and the potential that he can bring to this defense, because they're saying, hey, you know what? There may not be a spot for you here at DN, but we can find a spot for you at linebacker and continue to develop you. We already know you're going to be a solid contributor on our special teams.
Yeah.
But now we have a defensive position in which we can develop you into being a potential starting linebacker. So that just kind of shows you, like, hey, we got to find a spot for you on this defense because you have the ability to be a good special teamer, and we like a special teamer, and we like your skill set and what you can bring to this team. So let's see what happens. Yeah. Still all got to play out, though.
It's all got to play out. It's all got to get to the – I love what Tez said. He was like, all of this is cool, but we got to, you know, show it on the field. Jalen Johnson has echoed that same sentiment of you've come in, you've been excited, you feel like this is it, and then it don't play out on the field. I think they're so focused on get this stuff right so that we can get to the games. And Darren said, J-Mac, I don't know if I'm asking for too much here. When's the last week one we were prepared for? I'm just asking. Like, when's the last week one of the season that the Bears felt prepared for? Because it didn't feel that way last season. Didn't feel that way year before we played the Packers, right? Like,
but they felt prepared, though. They felt the Bears. They
felt saying the players felt prepared till you get in that moment,
right? That's what I'm saying. We may not have. I mean, I don't know. They may not have looked like they had been prepared, but they felt prepared. That's why, you know. But yeah, it's. I think another interesting takeaway that I had is the Montez Sweat saying that Jarvon Dexter really is taking that leadership role in the line room.
He brought them all together down in Florida,
And I've seen that. You know, Jarvon. You know. The guys, the D-line came out and worked that at our high school. He brought the guys down to Florida all together to work out. Like, that's taken – and he's a young guy, too. What's his going into his third year? Am I right?
No, this would be his – yes, his third year, right?
Yeah. Third year already, and he's taking that leadership role in the defensive line room. And guys are really, you know, following his lead. You know, Montez Sweat went down into Florida where Jarvon is from, and he galvanized his fellow D-linemen. They went down there to work out, to build chemistry, to work at their craft. So that way they can really affect the passer this year. And that's awesome. That's awesome to see guys really developing, not into just good football players, but being able to develop into good leaders.
Yeah, I thought that really says something about him too, right? Because it's easy to say, oh, Grady Jarrett's here, he's the leader. Yeah. Like, it almost seems like Jarvon was like, y'all bringing in who? Okay, let me step this up one more level. Because, like, I need y'all to, not to say anybody's taking control, but it does feel like Jarvon has been the one to set up the workouts. Jarvon has been the one who we've talked about the most being a leader, a part of this team, right? End of that season didn't go the way he wanted it to go, but he came back with a vengeance. He's dang near an optical illusion. I saw him today. I'm like, he looks bigger. You were like, no, he looks smaller. I'm like, what angle are we looking at it from? Yeah, that's crazy.
He looks leaner.
Pause. That was crazy. Pause.
But you know what I mean. But anyhow.
Y'all know what I meant.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to see. And it's going to be other guys that are going to continue to develop, you know, in this offense. I think another guy who I'm excited to see this year, and I know you always, we go back and forth about this, but you're going to stop talking about my guy, DeAndre Swift. I think, you know, with the addition of Ben Johnson and the pieces that they brought in on that offensive line, I think we're going to really see the best of DeAndre Swift. Because in my opinion, I think he's a back that is a playmaker. He brings the ability to generate explosive plays. And we saw some of that last year.
Yep.
And last year we didn't see some of that just because of the obviously a lot of the factors that contributed to him not making as many plays as I think he can make as a back. But I think, you know, DeAndre Swift is definitely one of the backs that could really excel in this type of offense that Ben Johnson's leading.
My favorite thing to do, J-Mac, is be proven wrong.
Yeah.
We got 90 people on this team. Let all 90 make it. I want 100%. People to accomplish their dreams. I want people to get their money. I want people to not have to go to the mic and be like, wow, like 38 yards is not good enough from your starting running back. But the concern that I do have, and I'll say this because was it this weekend? This weekend, I ended up, you know, a little bit of time, holiday weekend, all of that. I was like, I saw there was an article came out about how Ben Johnson was going to utilize the run game and stuff like that. And I was like, let me go look at what happened in Detroit.
Yeah.
Because it's not like we can't see an experience of this. And that season where Jamal Williams has 1,053 yards, he has 17 touchdowns that year. I went back and I watched a lot of, you know, as much of the games as I could and stuff like that. And it just kept being all these moments where I was like, that feels like that should be Swift's ball.
Yeah.
That feel like that should be Swift's moment. That feels like that should be Swift in the game and not Jamal Williams, especially in passing situations. Jamal Williams is not a great receiving back out of the backfield. Right. DeAndre Swift, that's where he excels. And that was where it was like, okay, like you were like trying to, I don't know if you were sending a message or you were trying to say like, you're not going to be here next year. I have to go a different direction. I don't believe in what you're doing. I hope that's not the case here. Yeah. I hope DeAndre dominates. But what I see in Philly, what I saw last season, it looked similar. I get the offensive line issues that come up, and I do think you have to give them some credit for that. But me and you have even talked about, right? There was a bunch of moments where the play was there and DeAndre missed it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it transpires. I think it was exciting. It's exciting times. You know, they'll continue to practice and go through the grind. Mini camp next week.
Yeah.
We'll be back out for that.
Yes, we will.
As well, to check out mini camp and see how this thing continues to progress throughout this summer and in training camp. And then look forward to, obviously, I like watching the preseason. Some people don't like the preseason. I like
you're a preseason guy.
Well, you know why? Because when you're an underdog and you're a guy trying to make the team, like, everybody has a story. And, you know, the preseason is some guy's season. Like, you know, it's shortened. You got three games. Yeah. And you really got to hone in on every practice and every game to really, you know, carve out yourself an opportunity in this league. So I love watching the preseason and see how guys develop and see guys getting, you know, you see some guys don't get a lot of reps in practice and they go out there in a preseason game and they just excel, you know, because they're hungry, because they're trying to, you know, earn a spot on a roster, live out their NFL dream. So excited, and obviously the season to kick off. So a lot of football. Football's here. Football's back, and we're going to be covering it all year.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather see – I've said I think you get more out of joint practices than preseason because you let the quarterback do more. You let you let the first team overall do more. Preseason, right, they throw the first team out there two drives, and they'd be like, all right, come sit down. Like, don't hurt yourselves. We don't need no injuries. I would rather see – preseason turn into joint practice. So still an opportunity for us to make this team. Still an opportunity. You can do it at Soldier Field. Yeah. They do family night at Soldier Field because I feel like you're getting more out of it. Are you getting more from the joint practices, which the Bears have two this year, or are you getting more from those preseason games?
You're going to get more from the joint practices with your starters because they're going to take more reps because they're not going to take a lot of reps in preseason, but they're going to take a lot of reps in that joint practice, which is overhyping, you know, practice.
We dominated versus the Bengals, and the overall answer was, the Bengals don't have a good defense.
Right, it's not a preseason game, right, so to speak, but you get an opportunity to go against somebody different, and the intensity picks up. Now, preseason is great for the guys who aren't going to get a lot of reps in practice because they're going to get all the reps that you can want in preseason. Trust me, I know. I've been out there. I've been on punt return, kickoff return, and then have a 10-play drive in office, and you are checking your post, and you only get a time to get Gatorade, and you can't look over and be like, tap your helmet, be like, hey, coach, can I come out? There ain't nobody. You got to stand there. You know what I mean? So, but you got to take advantage of all those reps. So, yeah, preseason is good for the guys fighting for a roster spot. Joint practices is going to, you know, the starters and the guys that you're, you know, you're counting, you're counting on everybody, but the starters are going to get more reps, and they're going to get a realistic look in terms of the speed of the game, similar to what they would see in a preseason or a regular season game.
That's the right way to say this. Is there a sense of pride, right? Where, because the two teams that are coming, you got Buffalo and you got Miami coming to Chicago this year. Is there almost that same sense of like, you're not coming in our house and kicking our butt?
Yeah, for sure. Like anytime that you have an opportunity to go against somebody in a different color jersey, like the intensity is going to pick up. Like, you're not going to kick our ass in our own practice facility, our own practice field or in our own building at the same time. So there's some pride. You know, emotions are going to flare. You see every year there's preseason fights or misunderstandings that happen. It's going to happen because the intensity is there, but it's good. It's good work for both teams. It's going to be good work for Miami. It's going to be good work for the Bills.
Yeah.
One thing that I found interesting, though, he said they were just going to be one day practice. So it's like, damn, Miami's going to come all the way up here. Right, they get one day of work, but then they'll play a preseason game
with them too.
But still, you know, some of these things, it'll be a week of practice leading up to that preseason game. So I'm kind of bummed out that we're only going to get to see one joint preseason practice with Miami and the Bills. But at the same time, you know, it's good because it's going to change that whole dynamic of that practice.
Well, what I hope too is that we actually get to see guys play. That's always the part. Like last year, right? Trey Hendrickson was in a, and I don't think anybody has a holdout situation this year, but Trey Hendrickson was in a y'all gonna pay me situation.
Yeah.
So the Bengals defense didn't have Trey Hendrickson. Caleb Williams is dotting them up all over the field. The rest of them suck for the most part. And then Trey Hendrickson is the leader that probably would have been in the backfield all day, and Rudy gave you a more appropriate pitcher, but. We left that day at joint practice going, oh, man, the Bears offensive line looked like they were dominant out here. And Caleb Williams slinging it all over the field. Joe Burrow, like, I got to put up 60 to win a game. You know what I
mean? That's why you can't invest a lot in practice. Like AI said, we're talking about practice.
We'll see what the Bears end up doing. J-Mac, before we get up out of here, appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. We can't leave without doing the dog of the week.
That's awesome. Cause I didn't even think of one. I don't really, you know,
I love that he comes up here and he's like, it's his segment. He's like, but I'm gonna get one. I think your dog of the week right now has to be Tyrese Halliburton, called Mr. Overrated, voted the most overrated player in the NBA by his peers. And is going on an absolute run. And this week has basically put the Knicks on notice that you guys will yet again not be going to the NBA Finals.
Okay.
And we're going to get an OKC Indiana Finals, which I don't know how I feel about that.
My dog of the week, like, man, like Julius Randle, come on, bro. Like, wow. Where have you been?
You going opposite. I love it. I'm going with the dog.
The dirty dog, the confused dog, the deputy dog. Bad dog, bad dog, whatever, like chili dog, Julius Randle. Like, oh my man, matter of fact, I'm not just extending this to Julius, I'm Ant Edwards as well. Like, how many points he had? 12 points,
16 in that last game, on 5 of 14. Yeah, come on, shooting.
You're supposed to be that guy, you're the dog. Like, you have no chance. Like, and then Julius Randle, like, what happened? Like, I don't know, man. Like, food pool, I don't know what's going on with him. Something's wrong. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Both of them guys, terrible. Right. Horrible. Awful.
You know what we need for this segment? Every time we enter and end this segment, we need like an open where, remember in Soul Man, where he's like, I see dog food in the pantry. I don't see no dog. Dog right. under the bed. He invites you.
I'm going to bring the dog. I'm going to bring a pit bull that has no teeth. That's it. Julius Randle. You've been a pit bull with no teeth, my friend. Come on.
What's worse, Julius Randle, his performance over the last couple of games, or the fact that Rudy Gobert is 7-2 and can't get no rebounds?
Yeah, that's terrible. I don't know. That's both are pretty bad. Like.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all for tuning in this show. Love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll keep you guys covered with everything Bears coming you guys' way. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Bear down. One love.
Yes, peace. Sir.